And seeking the Lord's help, we would direct your attention to the chapter of his word that we read together. In the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 65. Isaiah, chapter 65. And we may consider, as enabled, words that you will find in verse 20. Verse 20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Well, the prophet here is seeing very wonderful blessings ahead for the church and people of God. He is seeing the deliverance of Israel from the captivity of Babylon. And that would be like a whole new realm as far as they were concerned. It would be like a new heavens and a new earth. And when the Lord gave light on the future to the prophets, that light didn't only reach to the near future. It extended down through the generations and took in many future events in the history of the world and in the history of the church. And when it speaks of a new heavens and a new earth here in verse 17, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." There's light given there on the future that extends all the way down from Isaiah's day, down to the end of time. It takes in the coming of Christ. It takes in the gospel age, the preaching of the gospel throughout the ends of the earth to the Gentiles, to the people of Scotland. That would be a whole new heavens and a whole new earth to a Jew in the days of Isaiah, to think that there would be godly believers in the farthest parts of Scotland or in the farthest parts of America, places they'd never heard of. And it comes also to take in the very best days of the church on earth, days that are yet to come, days that are spoken of elsewhere in the prophets, as times when the nation shall learn war no more, when they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, when Christ's large and great dominion shall from sea to sea extend. That's his reign over his people through the gospel. That's going to be life from the dead to the Gentile church when the Jews are brought in. That will be like almost a new heavens and a new earth after all the deadness and the decay and the wickedness that's in the world in our generation. And then ultimately, of course, as you know, it extends to the eternal blessedness of the people of God in the kingdom of glory. Peter was saying that we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The Lord's people are going to be inhabitants of the land, of heaven, of glory. And in light of all these wonderful things that Isaiah was given to see here, prophetically by the Spirit of God, he is speaking of the great blessings that are going to be in the future. The Lord is going to create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. The gospel brings joy. The gospel alone brings lasting joy. When the Lord's people go to heaven, friend, they will go home with joy. They will enter into the joy of their Lord. They shall be brought with gladness great and mirth on every side. into the palace of the king, and there they shall abide. You have it there. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall be no more heard in it, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Now these words are difficult. It's not an easy part of Scripture to understand, to explain or to apply. And we need much help in seeking to understand this together. But you see there, in the words of our text in verse 20, that the reference is largely to this world. It's largely to the best state of the New Testament church, because there's still such a thing as death. There's still such a thing as the curse. And that proves the point that we're trying to make, that what Isaiah was seeing in connection with the new heavens and the new earth refers to everything in the future. The best days of the church on earth and reaching into heaven at last. And the particular scope of our text is speaking of the blessings of the gospel in this world, what they're going to bring. And we must, as enabled, seek to apply these things to ourselves here in our present situation. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. The blessing that is particularly spoken of in the text is that of long life, longevity. And we must consider that blessing in the first place, the blessing of long life that is spoken of here. Then in the second place, we must apply it to the Lord's people and ask the question, what are the prospects in view of life and in view of death, if which face the people of God? And the text speaks it to that, and it helps us to answer that question. And then in the third place, we would seek to consider how these things refer to sinners who remain in their sins, to the ungodly, to the unbelieving, who are spoken of so dreadfully at the end of the text. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. However long they may live, however many days of grace they may have, what a fearful prospect that sinners have in view of eternity, life and death and eternity. Well, we may consider these things, first of all then, the blessing of longevity, long life. Secondly, the prospects of the godly for life and for death. And thirdly, the prospects of the ungodly in life and in death. The child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. We have the blessing, first of all then, of a long life. It's set before us here. And you know that in the early ages of the world, many of the patriarchs lived for a very long period of time. In the case of Methuselah, almost 1,000 years. Man designed to live with the blessing of God, without sin, forever. And as the curse on sin has come through the generations. And as the wickedness of man has become more complicated, and man's society has become more deeply entrenched in sin, it's so man's life correspondingly has been shortened. And that's what we were reading in Psalm 90. From these great, vast, long lives that we read of in Genesis, you're brought down now to this. 80 at most is promised. And 70 years, 80 is the allotted span. Now, in our day and generation, in the Lord's goodness, people are living longer than they were a few generations ago. In our own congregation, we see people living into their 90s, in a good measure of health, with their faculties, many of them able to come to the house of God. And generally in society, that is the case. Our own royal family, for example, the late Queen Mother lived to well over 100 years. And as you know, Prince Philip, who died the other day, it reached nearly 100 years. And the Queen herself is in her mid-90s. It's not uncommon for people to live to 100 years today in a way that it was not that long ago. Now, as you will be aware, the fifth commandment of the moral law, the fifth commandment tells us, honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long on the earth. Thy days may be long on the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. That was a promise of long life and prosperity to those who would keep that commandment, as much as it pleased God that it would be for their good and for his glory, that God would give the keepers of that commandment long life according to his sovereign will. We need the blessing of the Lord if we're going to live long in this world. You need the blessing of the Lord if you're going to live at all. You need the blessing of the Lord if you're going to live a few more minutes. You need the blessing of the Lord if you're going to live a few more days. You need the blessing of the Lord if you're only young and in vigor of health, and having a long life as far as you can see, stretching out before you. Whether your life is long or whether your life is short, friend, you need the blessing of the Lord to be upon it. And how can you, a sinner, obtain the blessing of the Lord? We have forfeited it by sin. We are under the wrath and curse of God. And what is bound up with that? The curse of death. In the day thou eatest thereof, dying thou shalt die. But the Lord, in his great kindness to sinners, in his great and wonderful mercy to sinners of mankind, has sent his well-beloved Son into this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Christ, by dying under the curse, taking that curse, taking the penalty due to sin for everyone who will believe in him, in every generation and in every place, the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friend, has provided the way whereby the sinner need not perish, and will not perish who put their trust in him, for none perish that him trust. You're a perishing sinner by nature. You're a perishing, frail creature. You're one breath away from the eternal world. But if Christ is your Saviour, and if you're putting all your hope and confidence in the mercy of God through the blood of Christ, then you will never perish. And no one will be able to pluck you out of his hands. Not the devil, not the grave, and not death. O grave, I will be thy destruction. O death, I will be thy plagues. Now you see, we read in Psalm 21, and we had it in one of the Psalms that we were reading this morning. I think it's in Psalm 61 as well. You have this very wonderful thought, this very wonderful truth, bound up with Christ. There it is in Psalm 61, and at verse 6, it says there, a life prolonged for many days, thou to the king shalt give. Like many generations be the years which he shall live. David was speaking about himself and his posterity in the covenant, that he would have a seed raised up to be on the throne of Israel for many generations. But that was a type, it was a picture of Christ on the throne of the church of God, on the throne of the Israel of God, giving life in every generation, communicating spiritual life to sinners who are dead in trespasses and sins, and securing eternal life for them. That's what Christ has done. You have it again in Psalm 21. There it is. In Psalm 21 also. That precious thought. When he desired life of thee, thou life to him didst give, even such a length of days, that he forevermore should live. That's a very wonderful thing in the covenant, friend. Christ has the power of an eternal life. Christ is the Ancient of Days. Christ is the one who has eternity in his very person. He didn't need eternal life for himself, but he purchased it through his death and his resurrection on Calvary and his resurrection from the grave. And he secures eternal life for everyone who is with him in the covenant. When Christ died, he died for his people. When he rose again, they rose with him. And he is the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in him shall never die. They shall never die eternally. That's where the blessings of longevity and long life and prosperity in this world, even in a temporal and physical sense, that's where they come from, as far as God's people are concerned. They're all blessings of the covenant. And as we said, the words of our text here are bounded by the fact of death. The curse that Christ has removed by his death on the cross. He takes away the wrath of God due to sin. But the consequences of sin remain for God's people in this world until they die. And that is why even the child, even the one who has the blessing, who has life here, they die 100 years old. They will die. They have to go through death. They have to go through this experience. But Christ is with them in it. And Christ will make that a blessing to them, which would otherwise be nothing but a curse. That's the wonderful work of Christ, restoring the blessing of life. This is the blessing that God alone commands, life that shall never end through the death and the resurrection of the living Saviour. Now, because of that, and because of his purpose to gather in his people from north, south, east and west, because of his purpose to show mercy to sinners under the gospel, and to prolong the generations of the world until every one of his people are gathered in, these blessings flow out in a temporal sense, in providence, for a certain amount of time, to others around them. And that's what you have here. When the blessing of the Lord is most upon the gospel in the church, others, it will get a measure of temporal blessing in this world. That's what you have in the text. The child shall die in 100 years, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed in the best days of the church on earth. Many wonderful things will take place. You have it there at the end. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. That's a picture that's poetic of how things that are deadly and dangerous, things that bring pain and sorrow and distress in our present circumstances, it will be lessened. The more of the Holy Spirit is poured out on the gospel in the church, the blessings will flow out even in the world to a large extent. We would like to think, as a result of what is here, that there will be far less disease in the best days of the church on earth. And clearly, our text tells us that we could expect in those days that people's lives, as a result, will generally be prolonged. That's not an absolute thing, but that's the drift and the scope of what is spoken of here. Even someone who lived to the long period of 100 years, which is, of course, a significant milestone, that would be regarded as just like a child. It wouldn't be particularly regarded as greatly long. That there would be very little by way of people being cut off in youth. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. That someone who died when otherwise they would be expected to live much longer, that would be not the case so much at all in the best days of the gospel in the world. What a happy period that will be in the history of the nations. And even the sinner, even the one who goes on in the ways of sin and rebellion and never aims at the mark of honouring and glorifying God, even that person, their days will be prolonged more than now. Their days will be lengthened. The day of grace, the day of opportunity, it will not be shortened or cut off for them. That's the picture, that's the meaning of the words of this text. Now we have to come to apply them, first of all, more particularly to the Lord's people in the second place. The child shall die 100 years old. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. What are the prospects of God's people in life and in death? Well, they are children. The text, the verse is speaking of children. And children are dear to their parents. Such pity as a father hath unto his children dear, like pity shows the Lord to such as worship him in fear. And the Saviour said, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Have you entered into the kingdom of heaven as a little child, my dear friend? Are you numbered among the children of God? All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. What a blessed thing to be a child of God, not to be a child of the devil any longer. How can this be? How shall I put thee among the children? There's a great question for a sinner. How shall the Lord put thee among the children? Well, the child has to be born again to receive a new nature, to receive the adoption of sons. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that is required if the blessings of this chapter are to be your portion and your inheritance with the children of God. You need to become partakers of the divine nature, of the blessings of God in the covenant. You need spiritual life in your soul, friend, that only the Holy Spirit can give you for Jesus' sake. Nicodemus, he would have thought that he was on his way to heaven. He would have thought that he was a child of the covenant, having all the privileges of the nation of the Jews, having an exalted position in Israel, a master of Israel. Ah, but he knew not this. He knew not that he needed to receive the blessings of the gospel as a little child. In other words, he needed to be born again. He needed to become like a little child. He needed to go into the womb of a spiritual birth. Have you passed through that experience, friend? Have you passed from death to life? The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I will give you a new heart. I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your idols, and from all your filthiness will I cleanse you, saith the Lord. Christ is able to give you the new birth. Christ, when he died on Calvary and when he rose again triumphantly, he procured the blessing of the Holy Spirit for sinners. No, you cannot convert yourself. You cannot work repentance in your own heart. You cannot savingly believe in Christ in your own endeavors. You cannot overcome the world. You cannot disengage yourself from your sins. You cannot deliver yourself out of Satan's kingdom. But the Lord Jesus can, my dear friend. He can put you among the children. He can give you the new birth. He can give you eternal life. The child is a very tender creature, a little child. Desiring sincerely, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. There's a mark of a child of grace, that you long for the word of God. You receive this as it is indeed the word of God and not the word of man. You're not looking to a minister to speak to you. You're now looking to the Lord himself to speak a word in season to your soul. This is the bread of life to your soul. You could not understand it before. You could not see Christ in the word before. But the Lord opens the eyes just as the newborn babe. The light shines and they begin to respond and their eyes begin to move and they start to see and they start to react. There it is. That's an indication of life, that they're following the light of the word of truth. child. The child loves the parent. Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. I can't go any longer without the blessing of God the Father, for Jesus' sake, through the Holy Spirit. I can't. It's not life. Anything. A life of sin is death. A life without the blessing of the Lord. A life without having God as my Father and Christ as my elder brother and the Holy Spirit as my comforter and my sanctifier. A life without God is a living death for a child of grace. Oh, can you say that, dear friend? Can you write across your Christless life, your sinful life, the life that you were living in the flesh? The time past has sufficed us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles in abominable idolatries and uncleanness and all the wickedness of the world. That has to go, and it does go. The child has a new name, a name that is given from heaven. They're surnamed with the name of Israel and Jacob. They subscribe their hands to the Lord's covenant willingly. They believe the gospel to the saving of their souls. They embrace Christ. They're united to Christ by faith. He is the elder brother, and he is not ashamed to call them his brethren. What a wonderful thing that is, that you who are a child of grace tonight, writing hard things against yourself, finding nothing in yourself but sin, and nothing in yourself but reasons why the Lord ought to cast you off. But no, he's not ashamed to call them his brethren. He delights in them, for Jesus' sake. They are accepted in the Beloved, and they have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, and he has his name upon them. And all the blessings of the covenant are their inheritance. They have access to the throne of God, and that's a great blessing. If you're a child of grace, the throne of grace is open to you. And that's a wonderful thing to you, with all your sin, with all your need, with all your fears, with all your doubts about yourself, with all your perplexities. You can come and you have access to the highest court of heaven. You have access to the wisdom of God. You have access to the mercy of God. How wonderful that is. And if you are a child of grace tonight, dear friend, you have an heavenly inheritance. The whole of the blessings of the covenant of grace are your inheritance. And you are a joint heir with Christ and an heir of God. And eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them who love him. Oh, do you not love the Lord? Love ye the Lord, all ye his saints. That's what the psalmist was saying, and he was one of the children. I love the Lord, because my voice and prayers he did hear. I, when I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. Ah, these are wonderful words. The child. The child. The child is going to die in this world. The child shall die 100 years old. They may be cut off sooner. Some may live longer. But this is true of every one of them. They shall accomplish their days. Whatever purpose the Lord has for them, they will not come short of it, neither will they go past it. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. However long or short the Lord's people are spared in this world, it God will get glory from them. He will be glorified in them. His glory will shine in them. Look at the thief on the cross. He died there on the very brink of a lost eternity, moments from hell. And the Saviour's wonderful grace laid hold of him. And he became a child of the covenant. He became an inheritor of eternal life. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. The Lord can save a sinner. He can pluck a brand from the burning, from the very depths of evil, in a very, very short moment of time. And what glory that man has brought to Christ by what he said when Christ was in the depths of his humiliation and sufferings, in the darkness of Calvary, at the words of that dying thief, the faith that he had towards Christ, the hope that he had that Christ would remember him when he came in his kingdom. Oh, what precious words the Holy Spirit indicted in the heart of the dying thief. It doesn't take a long time in this world to bring glory to Christ. But the main thing is that the life that we're living by the faith of the Son of God. That's what the people of God can endeavour to say with Paul, how they would love to say it more consistently and with more assurance. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And when they come to die, that is the remnant of the consequences of sin. The Lord's people must pass through that. And it may be a very painful and difficult experience. It may be very prolonged. The issues of death belong unto the Lord. The day is appointed for everyone. The circumstances, the place, the manner, the cause, it's all appointed. He knows the end from the beginning. And dear in God's sight is his saint's death. He has a special care over his people as they enter the dark waters of death, entering the Jordan before they pass into the land of the heavenly Canaan. He's with them in the valley of the shadow of death. That's something that an unregenerate sinner does not have. They do not have the Lord's presence with them, as we will come to see. But the child of grace does. They have the presence of the Lord with them at every step. Every step in the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with them. Christ is their forerunner. He's gone through death. He's abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And he's taken the sting out of death, so that though death, this side of it, it appears very terrible, and it is, it's the king of terrors, and it's the last enemy of the Lord's people, and it's a fearful conflict for many. But Christ has taken the sting out of it, friend. And when they enter in, and when the soul parts from the body, a wave of holiness, it shall come perfecting them. And they will be ready to stand immediately in the presence of God forever. And all their sorrow shall be remembered no more. The former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. Think of the martyrs who gave their lives for the cause of truth. They were glorifying God in the fires. And oh, what an abundant welcome. What an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom they must have received. Christ will make death a blessing to the child of grace. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Because I live, ye shall live also. Ah, well, that is the portal to eternal life. It's the entrance into unspeakable and inconceivable joys. Who can tell the joy of the Lord? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. These things I have spoken unto you, that your joy may be full. He can give foretastes of that joy here, but will he not give immeasurable outpourings of joy and blessedness it forever and ever? Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. For God the Lord's a sun and shield, he'll grace and glory give, and will withhold no good from them that uprightly do live. So though the child shall die 100 years old, in their death, the day of their death will be better than the day of their birth. Will that be true of you, friend? Will you seek Christ now, that he will give you life in your soul, life that shall never end? Now we must come in the third place to consider the prospects of the sinner, of the unbeliever, in life and in death. And that is spoken of here at the end of the verse. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. The sinner, we were endeavouring to say something about sin and sinners. In this particular word that is here, it's the same word that we were considering in the prayer meeting on Wednesday, meaning one who does not reach the mark that God has set, one who comes short of the standards that God requires. It's the same word, it's the same idea, it's the same people who are mentioned here. There will always be tares among the wheat. The devil will always have a people in this world. There will be times when they'll be less visible and have less influence than they do as they have in our generation, when the devil has much power. In Isaiah's time, the devil had even more power. He had all the nations in his power, apart from the nation of the Jews. But even in the best days of the church, there will be sinners living a sinful life in this world. And if we're not seeking to glorify God, if God's law is not our delight, if we cannot put our amen to everything God has revealed in his word with regard to what we are required to believe, and with regard to our duty, what we are to do towards God and to our fellow men, if you're not putting your amen to what God has revealed in his word, if you're not seeking by faith to believe in him and to love him and to keep his commandments and to honor him and to worship him, then you're a sinner, friend, without grace and without God, without hope in the world. You have not the nature of a child of grace. You have not been renewed in your mind. You've not been born again in your soul. You're numbered among the sinners. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You're not a sinner who is a trophy of grace and is being prepared for a place where there will be no sin. You're not among the children of God, but you're a sinner. And that's a dreadful thing to be. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now the sinner may live a long life. The sinner being 100 years old, there may be circumstances conducive to a longer life. There may be many material advantages, prosperity. There may be good health care. There may be riches. In providence, that need not be the case. Some people in relative poverty have lived a very long life. Some of you may live to 100 years. Some of you will not. But whatever is true, this remains the case. What shall it profit a man, though he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Though you live 100 years, though you have your faculties, though you have good health, though you have a measure of worldly contentment, it's all going to be taken from you. What were we reading there in Psalm 49? Speaking of those who were highly esteemed in this world, but he shall carry nothing hence when death his days doth end, nor shall his glory after him into the grave descend. And these are unspeakably solemn words. He to his father's race shall go. They never shall see light. Man honored, wanting knowledge, is like beasts that perish quite. You can speak well of people when they're dead. That's generally the case. But if we do not have the knowledge of God, if we do not have the blessing of life in our souls, friend, as Mr. McFarlane, the second Mr. McFarlane who was in this congregation said, in connection with graceless ministers, it's true of every Christless soul on their way to eternity, their epitaph is already written, they never shall see light. You see, that's the curse. The curse is the complete opposite of the blessing. The blessing of life that shall never end. Here is the curse. No light and no life forever and ever. The curse of God is the most dreadful thing. Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And if you haven't got the perfect obedience of Christ as your righteousness, then that curse remains upon you, sinner, tonight. in the book of Deuteronomy. All the blessings are set before Israel, and they are wonderful blessings, and they're encouraged to seek them, and God was willing to give them. But if they would not hearken, and if they would not obey, then God denounces his curse upon them. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. We've forsaken the Lord by sin, and if you will not return to the Lord by way of Christ, there's nothing, friend, but the curse now in your life and at death and in eternity. It's to be devoted to destruction. It's to be set apart to divine justice. If you will not glorify God in your life, God will be glorified upon you in vengeance forever. That's the curse of God. God has not changed. The wrath of God is the same. The justice of God is the same. The curse of God is the same, friend. Flee from the wrath which is to come. If Christ has not taken that curse away from you, that curse remains upon you. The sinner, being 100 years old, however long you live, shall be accursed. The blackness of darkness forever. There are 3 points that we must urge upon you before we conclude. The first is this: you must urgently and seriously consider your life, the life that you have lived, and the life that you are now living. And what is ahead, however long or short, young friend or older friend, however few or many your days may be, you must seriously lay to heart that if Christ is not your life, then you are living a living death, and eternal death will be your portion. You must take a serious review then of life, past, present, and future. And you must do it now. And only the Holy Spirit, through the Word, can enable you to examine these things aright. And then, secondly, we must redeem the time. We must realize the urgency of the matter. You have not a moment to lose, not a second to trifle with, friend. Eternity will be upon us soon, every one of us, even the youngest here tonight. Your life is but a vapor, is passing swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And it may come to you very soon. Therefore, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Be living for the glory of God. Do not spend a moment any longer in the devil's service, in the service of sin, on your way to a lost eternity. And the third point that we must plead with you about, dear friend, is your absolute need of the new birth, and to seek it with all your heart. You will never turn from your sins. You will never believe in the Saviour. You will never become a child of grace. You will never be in heaven at last unless Christ will be your portion, unless the Holy Spirit will be given you. And you must come to the Saviour to do all these things for you. Then you will believe the gospel. You will repent of your sins. The Lord will put you among the children, and he will save you at last in eternity at the great day of judgment. And in view of eternity, he will number you among the children, and he will say, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me." Oh, will you be among them? Will we be among them? Will we not go to Christ now, that he would put us among the children? May the Lord bless his word to us.